Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank everyone for your presence this afternoon as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want to thank those brothers that have led us thus far in our worship to God, knowing that the Bible teaches those five acts of worship that we find in Luke's writing in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47. The teaching of the apostles' doctrine, our sharing with the Lord, what the Lord had blessed us with, our breaking of bread, communing with the Lord, and offering prayers, and then our praising God for being the God that he is. And so I want to thank everyone again for this afternoon and listening to the Word of God. And if you are with us on this morning, we looked at, from the Word of God, we began looking at Paul's second letter to Timothy, and understanding that when Paul wrote that letter, Paul was facing certain death at the hands of the Romans, and his execution was near. However, he penned that which he knew that was important, being inspired of the Holy Spirit to share with Timothy those things. So we shared this morning from the Word of God, from the title, The Unfeigned Faith That Is In Thee. We talked about the faith that Timothy possesses, and Timothy received his faith, as we studied on this morning. It was first, Paul said, it dwelt first, 2 Timothy 1:5, it first dwelt in his grandmother Lois, and then in his mother Eunice. And Paul said, I am persuaded that it is in you. And so we talked this morning how the importance that faith, I said this morning in my message, I believe the most important spiritual item that a grandparent, a parent can give to their grandchild or child is their faith. We said this morning that the faith is handed down, in this case, from the grandmother to mother, and then from mother to child. And not only was this faith taught and trained, but it was able to be transferred to the heart and mind of Timothy. And again, the most important thing a parent can give their child is the faith that they have, if it's one that is what God would have us to have. And so on this afternoon, we want to look at another parental situation. Brother Floyd did a fine job on Wednesday night looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1. So we want to make the connection from this morning, but looking at that same text that Brother Floyd spoke on Wednesday night, those that were on the call Wednesday night. We want to look at it from the relationship it had with 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And so we find in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 5, setting up the situation or circumstance here, the Bible says regarding Hannah that the Lord, and 1 Samuel 1 and 5, that the Lord had shut up her womb. The Bible says that, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. We have to understand that as a Christian, sometimes you're going to go through stuff, and there may be those that may not treat you well or may talk about you and against you because of your situation and your circumstances. You know, the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and the verse is number 12. Paul said to, in his second letter to Timothy, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we have to realize that persecution and suffering goes hand in hand with one's Christianity. Yeah, and so in verse number 10, the Bible says, and she, talking about Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So we find that in situations that we find ourselves in, for the Christian, prayer is our answer. We talked this morning, we no longer have miracles, signs, and wonders. They are no longer in existence today. But God has given the Christian something greater, and that is the ability to pray to the Lord. And so we find that not only did she pray, the Bible says, and where we get our title from in verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And that's our title on this afternoon, that Hannah said to God, our title, then I will give him unto the Lord. So we want to look again at the faith of Hannah, as we talked about the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother this morning. The faith of the parent is extremely important, as I said this morning, in the spiritual development of the child. Sometimes the child may not develop spiritually, and in some cases, what the child saw before them as it relates to their parents' Christian walk can affect that child's growth and their respect for the church. You know, if we as parents only talk about the problems in the church and how bad the church is and the negativity of the church, how do we expect our child to want to serve the Lord in the church when we are bad-mouthing the church? Our children hear those things that we are saying when we are discussing things. And so we want to understand that the mindset of the parent is very important in the development of that child. And again, we want to make sure, as we see in this text, that Hannah's faith in the Lord, he said to the Lord, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back unto thee. And note what the Bible says in verse 12, and it came to pass, as she continued praying unto the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth and noticed her mouth moving. But what we want to know from that text is that she was continuous in her praying to the Lord, because Jesus said to us in Mark chapter 11, and the verse is number 24. Note what Jesus said. He says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Was not this the prayer of Hannah? Hannah believed. He asked the Lord, Lord, look down. You know what I'm going through. And I'm saying this to Christians now. When you are going through a tough time and your circumstances and situations are bad, understand this here. God can bring good out of a bad situation if we are faithful to God. Notice Hannah's bad situation and circumstances. She had been being provoked. Her soul, the Bible said, was bitter. And she was crying. You know, to some that may sound like she was in a depressive state or experiencing depression. She went to the Lord with it. She went to the Lord and asked the Lord, Lord, remember me. Lord, don't forget me. You look down on my afflictions. And so when we're going through stuff, we take it to the Lord. As Peter says, we leave it there with the Lord. You know, Peter told us in 1 Peter, his first letter in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he said then, casting all care upon him, for he careth for you. If you're a Christian, Peter says, take your cares and leave them with the Lord. You stop having anxiety about it. Leave it with the Lord. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 1 and 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She named Samuel in honor of God, meaning ask of God, because God had blessed her. And she told God, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. How many of us raise our children to serve the Lord? Yeah. Whether it's male or female, are we raising them to serve God, to be faithful to God? Note in 1 Samuel 1:24, the Bible says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So she did, gave him, brought the child to Eli for Eli to raise up, and gave him back to the Lord. But now we find that the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that Hannah would visit the son. In verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, we're going to make a point on that. Come back to it. The Bible says, and Eli bless Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. What Eli was telling Elkanah and Hannah, because you have lent this person to the Lord is going to bless you and give back. See, sometimes some of us, we can struggle sometimes financially because we're not giving to the Lord. But they gave to the Lord. And Eli shared with them that the Lord is going to give back to you. You cannot beat the Lord in giving. Give, and I'm saying this to all Holland Heights and those that are listening. Give faithful to the Lord. The word fellowship in Acts 2:42 means sharing that which the Lord has blessed you with. Give to the Lord faithfully, not after you have done all that you can with what you have and what you have left. Give to the Lord first. So notice what the Bible says in verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And not only that, when you have the faith that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and Eunice had, his mother, God bless you, can bless you. And in Timothy's case, Timothy grew up to be a great gospel preacher in the Church of Christ. And Samuel grew up, and Samuel may have been one of the most important men in Israel history between Moses and David. Why? Because his mother raised him with the mindset, I'm going to give him back to the Lord. We need to raise our children to be faithful to the Lord, to be faithful in the church. And so, what we learn from our lesson this afternoon, then I will give him unto the Lord. We learn from Hannah the power of persistent, specific prayer offered with the proper attitude toward God will be fruitful. We also learn from 1 Samuel 2 and verse 19 and 20, the importance of parental agreement and consistency in the child-parent relationship. You know, it's important that the parents are on the same page. You notice when they went to see the son, the husband and wife were on the same page and raising the child. You know, not the mother want to raise him one way and the father want to raise him another way, and the child end up being confused. Why? Because the parents are not on the same page and doing those things and raising that child, training that child as the Lord would have them to raise. That was not the case with Hannah and Elkanah. They were in agreement in offering Samuel to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And then thirdly, I want to make a point. Serving in the church is the greatest work any person can offer to God. Sometimes we are more concerned I'm talking about Christians in the church, about what we're doing secularly. And sometimes we're more concerned with our children's secular education than their spiritual education. Their spiritual education is the greatest education. Why? Because that education, if instilled properly and followed, has eternalness with it. We talked this morning what Paul told Timothy about the promise of eternal life. And so we want to look at these women of faith and how that faith brought a preacher in the Lord's church and one of the greatest servants that Israel ever saw in Samuel for the Lord. And so, as Hannah said, then I will give him unto the Lord. Let us not only offer our children, but as I said this morning, let us stir up in ourselves those things that we offer ourselves for the betterment of the kingdom. And I ask this morning, are we on fire for the Lord? Are we using our talents for Jesus Christ? What are we doing to progress the congregation where you are? Those are the questions. That's what will be important when the Lord said, lay up for yourselves in heaven treasures that no one can touch. Those things that you are doing, not for yourself, but what you are doing for the Lord. I want to encourage all of us, including myself, first. And we talked this morning about the word in 2 Timothy 1:6, the word stir up meant to keep in full flame, being on fire for the Lord. And so if we sing the song, don't let your light burn low. Yeah. And I'm saying to us, if your light is burning low, the way you turn the fire up is by getting active, being faithful in worship service, being faithful in your giving, being faithful in serving, you know, the Lord. Get active in ministries. Brothers, you should be active in the ministry. And we have a brothers meeting. You should make it your a point to be there. Sisters, we had, they had a follow-up meeting. Sisters, if your schedule allowed, you should have been there. Why? Because the work of the Lord is important. But if it's not important, so you can test yourself and ask yourself, how faithful am I? And my encouragement, light the fire and burn bright for the Lord. If you're on the call this evening and you're not a Christian, you don't have any fire. Yeah, you can't burn for the Lord until you become a Christian. One becomes a Christian. We look in the book of Romans. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, did an excellent job of talking how one become a Christian. In Romans 1:15, Paul says, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm talking to those that are on the mail, be on the call, and you're not a Christian, not a member of the Church of Christ. This part of the message is specifically for you. Paul said in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul said, the power of God to save a person from their sins is in the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? The gospel is that good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for your sins and mine. He was buried in a tomb. He rose the third day. You must believe that. And so Paul said in Romans 2 and 4, he said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." So not only must I, you've heard that gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you have to believe it, then one must, the goodness of God should lead you to repent, meaning turn from those things that you've been doing that's not consistent with God. Why is that the case? Because in Romans 3, 23, Paul said, wrote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I want to say to each of us, people are dying every day. Some people are dying unknowing that death is right around the corner in their lives. And Jesus said of a person, John 8:31, if a person die in their sins, where I am, you cannot come. If a person die in their sins, where Jesus, you cannot go to heaven if you die in your sins. So how do we correct that, Brother Stroud? In Romans chapter 5, the Bible reads, "But when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God, the Father, commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for the sins that each of us did in our lives. So what is our response to that? In Romans chapter number 6, Paul reminded those Christians. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So your responsibility, you have Jesus died for sin, 1 Corinthians 15. We must die. If you have not yet, you must die to sin. How do I do that? Verses 3 and 4. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death." So what we have to do prior to baptism, we have to hear the gospel, which you've heard today. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sin. You then must confess. Acts 8:37, Jesus said it. In Matthew 10:32, you must confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God prior to your baptism. And the Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And let me just say this, if you're on the call, and one may be on the call, say, "I've been baptized before," but if you haven't been taught by someone who is actually a Christian, then that baptism is of none effect. There's only one baptism, but you have to be taught right and ought to obey right. There's someone that is subject to the invitation. If you've been invited to the call, have the person reach out to us, and we can make it happen that you can become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. I thank you this afternoon for your listening ear.